Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Another Dolphins Collective breaking down of Dolphins mini camp practices. Is so much to talk about, man. I'm excited for you watching right now because I was talking to these two gentlemen and they have been so impressed with certain individuals. We're going to get into that. We definitely are. But y'all hit the like button on your way in the building. Let your friends and family members know that we are live right now because there are so many Dolphin fans that are just searching for great Miami Dolphin content. And let them know it's already here. So share it with them. Make sure you go on all your socials and share it. Shout out to the Mod Squad. Shout out to all the members of the channel as well. The Dolphin Collective is here. And look at these handsome gentlemen. Ooh, you see how good they feeling, y'all? Do y'all see how good they're feeling? They always feel good when we got an elite quarterback.
I need a haircut. I was like, go ahead.
We all need haircuts. Alan Poupar, Omar Kelly, fresh from OTAs. These gentlemen were present at OTAs yesterday and today. So we got some firsthand knowledge here, guys. I can't wait to pick their brains and everything that they saw. But again, make sure you punch that like button. We want you to know the official sponsor of Dolphins Collective is Prize Picks. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on. But we're going to dive right in because we got too much to talk about and so little time. All right. So mini camp breakdowns. We're going to start out with the elephant in the room. Fellas, y'all got to fill us in. How elite is Malik Willis, baby? What you looking like that for, Omar?
Because the best quarterback today was Quinn Ewers.
Best quarterback the past two days was Quinn Ewers.
Here y'all go.
Sorry.
I'm part. Best quarterback the past two days.
Here y'all go.
Yesterday was close. Today, Ewers.
Yesterday was close. I'd acknowledge yesterday was close. Yeah, today was not close. Was
really, really. By the way, he's not still not starting, but he was really, really good today.
It never fails. So you're going to say a better day than Malik when he going up against two?
Oh, he had a bet. No, there was no doubt about it. He had a better day than Malik.
Going up against twos and threes?
It don't matter.
He's
got twos and threes protecting him and twos and threes weapons.
Breaking news.
Caden Proctor signed.
Thank you. Two left.
We got a wall.
Two left.
Our rookie left guard / future tackle has just signed with the Miami Dolphins. This is good. Is there any specific language in the contract that changes or he just, no. Hey.
There's no reason for rookies to be unsigned because the salaries are slotted and structured. It's not like these things are negotiable. So the only thing first round picks can argue about is offset language. And truthfully speaking, who cares? So the agents do, but yes.
So Chris Johnson left and Seydou Traore left. That's it.
Why is Seydou Traore not signed? Is he trying to get paid in euros? What's going on here?
Bitcoin, I don't know.
There you go. You like that?
That's crazy. All right, man. But listen, man, we're going to talk about Malik Willis. We're going to start out there because
why we got to talk about Malik Willis? Why can't we just talk about all of the positives?
We are, but we want to address the elephant in the room, and everybody watching wants to know what y'all thought about Malik Willis, though. And y'all already said Quinn Ewers, y'all say he was better. Good. That means we have a great backup. But Malik Willis, what are we talking about here? Are we starting to see a starting NFL quarterback?
Poupard?
Yeah, but he was, again, he was solid today. I don't know if he was great, but he was solid through the ball.
Today was his best day. No question about
that.
We've seen
because Jeff Hafley.
That we've seen. Yes.
He had really great days last week.
A couple of nice throws. Had a rope to Malik Washington, who continues to be the best wide receiver on the team. And right now, in that practice, is open to the media. The second most productive wide receiver has been AJ Henning, but that's a different story. ahead. Give me another.
I think Jalen Tolbert gets probably the most receptions.
TJ Henning, huh?
I didn't say it was impressive. He just gets the most receptions.
And Tutu had well had a big day. Anyway,
Tutu had a big day. First day he ever showed up for me.
But Malik Willis, yes, threw the ball pretty well today. Yesterday was a couple of nice throws, a little bit off, and he still got a release I'm not totally crazy about, but that's how we
It's like a sidearm, but the thing is, it gets where it needs to go. And yes. I don't have an issue with his accuracy right this very minute. I will say the last 2 days, TD, to your credit, they are incorporating some running plays and then working on play action. Mm-hmm. And he looks better and different in the play action plays, especially when he's moving. I think some of his better plays is when he's moving. He throws on the run pretty well.
His improvisational skills, in my opinion, people going to get outraged for this, is better than Patrick Mahomes. His improvisational skills, I'm telling you it is, though.
Simmer down.
His accuracy.
Like you make great points, and then you throw out stuff like that, and it's like, we can't
take He makes a great point, then he throws a Molotov cocktail.
Okay, come on. Hold
on. You just said, to give me credit, his ability to throw on the run was pretty impressive.
Yes, if I had to define him as a traditional quarterback, I would say mediocre. If I have to define him as a movement quarterback, I would say has potential. But he's not even close to Quinn Ewers as a traditional pocket passer right now.
I know that. I already know that. But I'm going to put you on the hook. You see, you kind of leveled off on that. I understand a traditional passer, right? Mm-hmm. But the improvisational extending play passer – mm-hmm. You said, what was it that you said? Because I didn't see.
I didn't hear the level. He's got a lot of potential there.
Potential to be what? What level?
Could great be a top 15 quarterback if that's what you're going to do and if that's what your base offense is. I personally do not like scrambling quarterbacks. I don't like chickens with the head cut off on the field. I don't like running quarterbacks because you know what? They're going to end up on IR. That's my personal belief and has been for 2 decades. So if that's what you want to do, enjoy Quinn Ewers because he's going to be your starting quarterback.
But you have – and Omar, I agree with you to a certain degree, but you have to have that threat, that element in your game when you're playing quarterback because it's
absolutely
the pocket passer and nothing else.
Absolutely.
And that's what Malik has, right, Alan?
Well, I'd say as a pure pocket passer, he'd be untested. Lot to see yet.
Plenty to be desired.
But not bad.
So far.
Mediocre.
Again, very, very small sample size. That's
fine for a baseline. But I don't see any Malik Willis is bad in him anymore. Average at worst.
There are a lot of throws. Half the throws, his feet aren't set, and he gets away with it because he's got a big arm and he can get some juice on the ball. Even, but his the footwork on a lot of his passes,
he needs to work on fundamentals and throwing on time and hit my a lot of the things that I hate to say this that Tua was very good at.
How long did it take? 8 minutes, 50 seconds.
A lot of the things that Tua was very good at, he needs to work on becoming good at. Throwing on time, being on schedule, back foot placement. Yes, but he could stand there and just sling the ball without even moving, and it would pretty much get where he needs to go. But you could, I think I'm of the opinion that you could hurt your arm doing that stuff. He's very arm talented.
Yes.
And
see, but
props to him on that. Because I thought he had a good arm. I didn't know he had this level of arm.
Yeah.
Which is very talented, huh? It's better than what you thought.
Better than what I thought. Yeah. I'd love to see him run at full speed because we're not gonna get that anytime soon. Mm. And when I do see him run at full speed, then I'll probably be like, oh, okay, I see all of that he can be and all that he could do. But that's just not what we're doing right now.
It's on the way. It's on the way. But that's interesting you say that. But I'm the type of individual, I don't look at him as a pocket passer ever. I think that he's slightly above average as a pocket passer, and I think he has the ability to be good as a pocket passer, not great, not elite as a pocket passer. But the element that he is good in is what's going to make his overall game, in my opinion, great. But time will tell when we see all the running and see all of those things. But I got to open up another can.
Hold on. Let me tell you, this is a perfect illustration of who he is. Was that the third down play, the Ben Sims play? I can't remember what down it was, but
yeah, it was third and four.
They blitzed Chris Johnson. He clearly saw the blitz, scooted a little bit to the left, launched the ball, rifled it in between the defenders. Clearly the safeties were trying to like pick the ball. We don't get replay, so I can't really tell you for certain what happened. Maybe the Dolphins. What happened? What's three?
It was Zane Anderson who was in coverage.
Zane Anderson was in coverage. Okay. But why was Zane Anderson in front of Ben Sims? Like, because once Ben Sims caught it, it zipped in there. Ben Sims caught it and was like, turned around and was like, oh, there's nobody in front of me. Let me run to the end zone. And I don't understand why their safety was not behind, why there was not a last line of defense there.
But I think, as I recall, though, I believe Sims was running across and then Anderson was with him, and then Sims made an adjustment when he saw Malik move to move the other way, and that's why Anderson wound up overrunning the play, as memory serves. And again, without the benefit of replay, but that's what I seem to catch.
Yeah.
But it was a very, very impressive play.
It was a very impressive play. It was a 40-yard touchdown. He got that ball in there. It was gone. He was all through it on the move. He avoided the blitz. It was a very impressive NFL play on a very critical down. If he made that play in an NFL game, it would be an NFL highlight on ESPN SportsCenter.
So what I'm told, though,
and he completed 7 of 8 passes on that drive.
I'm told that a lot of this was situational football.
It was all situational. It was a situational period.
Before the half and at the end of the game situation, 2-minute drill.
Because 1 minute and 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Did they get put a score up? I didn't know.
It was zeros across.
Zero zeros. Yeah. 1 minute and 15 seconds. You got to drive your team down the length of the field. And even Quinn's drive ended on a fourth and down and like two.
Fourth and two field goal.
And they didn't kick the field goal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's either you get it in the end zone or nothing.
Basically. And on third and two, there was a lot of pressure on Ewers, and he wound up throwing it away in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Which is where in that particular circumstance, Malik has the ability to get out of trouble a lot more than Ewers does. But Huntley,
I think, was the one that applied pressure.
Who? Who?
Alex Huntley. Yes, Alex Huntley.
Okay.
I didn't notate that.
I did not notice that. But
that's again, why our eyes work together, Poopar. That's why we are a great complement together.
Okay, stop now.
I love this. I need y'all to be like that about Malik Willis, but we'll get there. But the reason
we like what we saw, though.
Yeah, the reason why I'm emphasizing, the circumstance of what they were doing. Do y'all think we can finally now, after 6 years, run a 2-minute drill?
Okay, but hold on. For the record, there was one play early in that drive, and you're funny, TD. There was one play early in that drive where Josh Uche had a beeline on Malik, and he stopped. Yeah. And it's a play that, in a game, I am not so sure the ball gets
away. I would not have given Uche a sack on that.
Good for you.
I'm a sack-giving king.
Got out on Uche.
I'm a sack-giving king. Malik was in his throwing motion before Uche had gotten there. Uche did stop, but the ball was gone before Uche stopped.
So he would have got whacked, though. He would have got hit back.
Oh, yeah, he would have got whacked.
He would have gotten whacked, if not sacked, or the ball deflected. Uche let the ball go by him, and it was a short completion. So
we got a quarterback now who can get up from that kind of hit.
You do not know that. Sorry.
Correct. We don't know that because he wasn't hit.
Do not do that. I will point out to you, all Dolphin fans, again, he is the exact same size as Tua Tagovailoa. The exact
But Omar, we can run a two-minute drill now.
You're not going to get me, TD. You're not going to get me.
You're not going to get me. Important?
Alan Pappard, did Tua Tagovailoa have a problem running a two-minute drill in practice?
Sometimes.
Situational periods? Trailing?
I'm sorry, but last year wasn't as smooth as it was in 22 or 23, for example, even in practice. Yes, there were times when it wasn't smooth. Josh Uche, we mentioned, because I mentioned on that play, very noticeable today. Chop also was very noticeable.
Chop was very good. I did not give stock ups for OTAs, stock up, stock down, OTAs, mini camps. Chop would definitely get my stock up with Tutu Atwell. Tutu Atwell, I don't even know if I even paid attention to him all OTAs and every practice. Today, he showed up. Today, he was like, oh, damn, the media talking to me today? Okay, I guess I got to make plays today. They know who we're talking to ahead of practice.
Or Bobby Slowick is designing the plays, and he goes, okay, go to Tutu. Tutu signed the media? Okay, go to Tutu.
Tutu showed up. Tutu was like, oh, damn, I'm practicing today? All right. Like, he was like three receptions for at least 65 yards. And
That leads me, though, because we're going to get back to Chop, but I want to go to Tutu in that wide receiver group, because it's almost like I've been starting to tell people, based off of what you two particularly have been saying about the unit, that they're more so trying to just have a bunch of guys who are going to rotate and go out there and make plays, because Malik Washington.
I'm sure that's not the goal. I'm sure that's what they'll settle for. Because right now it looks like trash. Because
you don't have a stud, that's why.
It looks like trash, TD. Sorry.
Don't say that now. That's just the bottom of the barrel.
It looks like trash. Like, sorry. You went out and you signed Jason Rager. I'm not going to name the two media members who are Eagles fans in our contingent, but both of them, they will tell you he's probably the worst receiver that they know. And they are shocked that he's got NFL employment. And the Dolphins just signed him.
Serious?
And he's probably the receiver on this unit with the biggest and best pedigree as a former first-round pick.
Okay.
As the son of a former NFL player.
Y'all killing me right now. Is Malik Washington making plays?
Yes,
but he's not special.
He's not.
Is Tolbert making plays?
Yes.
But he's not special.
He's not special.
But isn't it about getting everybody
Let me put it to you this way, TD. On the 2023 Miami Dolphins, I'm not sure either of those players would make the receiver unit.
I think y'all are.
Could you? Maybe Braxton Berrios. Maybe they sneak on there over Braxton Berrios.
No, at the bottom of the bottom of the group. It was always a top heavy group. Here's the thing. There's so many snaps in the practice. Guys are going to make receptions. That doesn't mean that The reason the Dolphins are going to have like balance in the wide receiver core is because they don't have a stud, at least at this moment, until one of them emerges. There's no Justin Jefferson. There's no Jamar Chase. There's no Tyreek Hill. There's nobody who comes close to that level.
There's nobody you call in plays for, big dog. Nobody.
Correct.
Don't tell me. I'm trying to get it. Greg Dulcich.
You look like you wouldn't go. Yeah, I don't think you was going to get it.
I was going to get it. Greg Dulcich is the player you're calling plays for right now.
But have you considered maybe it's the best course of action, though, with Malik's skill set of just spreading the football around
It's not ideal. It's like you saying, I'm driving a Honda Accord by choice. There's nothing wrong with a Honda Accord. it works. It gets you where you need to go.
Get you from A to B. It gets you from A to B.
But would you rather be driving a Lexus? Wouldn't you rather be driving a Mercedes? Wouldn't you rather be cruising in European style? Your Honda Accord works. It gets you where you need to be.
The problem also becomes when you face a really good team and nobody's getting open because all your receivers are B or C receivers. This is where you're going to really want a Tyreek Hill or a Jamar Chase.
Yeah, we street racing with a Honda Accord. That's what I'm saying. So we street racing with a Honda Accord.
We getting open. Don't worry. We getting open.
It's spring practices. Jesus.
You know, there's like a specific day that I'm just so waiting on. It's that Monday after the first game when I come on here and I be
game or first
exhibition? Yeah, the regular season. It could be
exhibition. That's okay. It's judge Malik after the first five games when teams have a book on them. Judge him then. The first game, they don't know what to expect.
There ain't no book on an improvising quarterback. All right, man, let's move forward because another guy, let's go back to Chop just for a brief moment. Jeff Hafley's talking about he need to be a three-down back guy, okay? Now, you're saying his stock is rising, but that's all for creating pressure. What about first down? His stock
is rising. I said.
He had a good day of practice. It was noticeable.
He had a good day of practice. And he said something in his press conference because they made him redo his press conference. Which is the first time I've ever seen that.
Redo.
Yes. He had to redo his press conference. He said, Austin Clark's what was the proper phrase, Alan? I know, you know, Austin Clark's like all over me. Yeah, he don't let nothing slip. Like, and it's true. I've watched practice. Chop touched the wrong end of the dummy, he going to do his drill over again. And Austin Clark, that's the one thing I respect about Austin Clark. There ain't nobody who gets under Austin Clark that don't get better. And so Austin Clark is riding his tail.
He's getting coached up.
Something like that. Let's hope.
Did you see that type of stuff in the past?
One, he didn't have a position coach last year. The dude who was his position coach got fired after he had a domestic dispute, and then they filled it in with whatever they could fill it in with. So it is what it is.
He filled it in with a longtime offensive assistant who had never coached defense before, as I recall. And don't ask me that coach's name. That name escapes me. But it was kind of interesting.
Forgetting a name? y'all not even going to remember. Y'all not even going to believe I corrected Alan today. Like, can anybody believe that?
Why'd you do that?
On the contract on Greg.
Alan, don't you remember? Contract.
Yeah. That's right. Shame on me. Let me bow my head in shame.
Well, I got a victory lap, baby.
Oh my God. I gotta ask you, Alan, with Chop Robinson. Obviously he had a better day, but what about setting the edge? There was some run plays. Anything noticeable?
Yeah, and there was one yesterday also where,
he's had two good days.
Yes, it's runs outside by Jalen Wright, who, by the way, sorry, stock down, dropped a pass. Rough go so far. Where he was running the ball outside, and Chop was there to meet him, force him to cut it inside where he had some help.
I think also the linebackers, I'm going to give Jalen Wright a pass for now because he's going against the top tier linebackers and they can sniff that stuff out easily. But Jalen Wright is.
Jalen Wright dropping easy passes or fighting.
Yeah, I was just going to say Jalen Wright's probably been my most disappointing player of all of OTAs. There's nothing. There's nothing there. But
really?
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
I feel bad saying that, but that's because he thinks we have it out for him in the media contingent. But bro, it's not me. You too. Don't put it on me. Don't just put it on me. It's like there's nothing. Anytime he runs the ball, nothing. Anytime Ollie Gordon runs the ball, something.
Yeah, Ollie's looking good.
Ollie looks good. Nice. I would love to see them flip and
careful, you're gonna get pop out. Be careful, you're gonna pop out.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So
I'd love to see them do backflips.
I got you. Let's go to the linebackers real quick. Jordan Brooks, Seiden balling out as usual, what I'm hearing. But I'm intrigued by one player that I really got to get y'all take. What are y'all seeing with Kyle Lewis?
Nothing in the last 2 days. Very, very, very.
What about Rodriguez?
You know what I see with Jacob every time? I have seen two or three passes now. Right over his outstretched arms, right to a receiver behind him. It's uncanny. A couple of them, he's jumping, and Quinn Ewers got him today again. It was like a pass. Yeah, he's jumping. I mean, just right over the fingertips.
Throwing
right
one of those two passes. Yeah, you remember those.
Okay.
I will say the most impressive rookie so far to me is Trey Moore. And
What?
Trey Moore. Trey Moore.
Trey Moore. Really? By the way, I noticed today on the running play. So I couch what I'm saying by saying it's a running play in the spring. But there was one play, one run by Ollie Gordon up the middle where he had some room. And what I noticed was Caden Proctor completely moving out Kenneth Grant one-on-one.
Hold on. Say that again. Caden Proctor clearing Grant?
Clearing out Kenneth Grant to clear a hole for Ollie Gordon, too.
Yeah. Oh,
Caden Proctor going to be all pro, though, so we're not surprised. Well,
and what's that say about Kenneth Grant? Kenneth Grant should be able to handle
it. I mean, Caden Proctor is a big man. Yeah. He should be able to move Kenneth Grant.
Kenneth Grant, not exactly small. Kenneth Grant should not be able to move.
Probably got Kenneth Grant by like 30 pounds.
Doesn't matter. Shouldn't be moved that
well, way. Regardless, stock up, down, or staying the same. Talk to me about
Kenneth Grant. I don't evaluate offensive linemen until pads come on.
No, I'm talking about Kenneth Grant. Anything starting to stand out?
I don't evaluate defensive linemen until pads come on. I can tell you Keon Smith isn't your backup left right guard. I said what I said.
That's right. My most impressive rookie so far, not counting the offensive linemen, Chris Johnson's looked good in the secondary. He had a nice pass breakup today. Kevin Coleman Jr. I know, Omar, that's your guy right there. I kind of like
him. He looked good. He looked good.
Yeah, and that's been pretty steady as well.
I would invest more in Kevin Coleman Jr. as a slot and make Malik a flanker. No question about it for me.
I'll buy that. And your guy Caleb Douglas spent some time on the stationary bike today.
He's riding the tour to Miami Gardens.
Is he like just being pushed to the side or something?
No, he's injured.
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, okay.
When you ride the bike, you're injured.
Gotcha. I wonder when did this happen?
No,
because was he practicing yesterday?
Yes. Okay. These things happen all the time.
Correct.
Right. And there's no point in pushing a player through something that they're battling right now when literally they got one more week of three more practices, if not two, for the rest of the offseason program. And then if not three, four more practices, if not three, and then they're done for the summer. So why would you push a guy? Right now, this should be the time where a guy goes and gets a knee cleaned out or goes and gets, you know.
Well, let me challenge both of you real quick, okay? Uh-oh. Quick challenge. I'm not asking you to sell hope here, okay? But I am asking you to put your optimistic cap on about what I'm about to present.
Sell hope.
What is the ceiling?
Four.
We don't know the unit, but if this is the unit, what is the ceiling for the secondary if it's Chris Johnson, Juju Brents, Lonnie Johnson Jr., Dante Trader Jr.,
Jason Marshall Jr.
Instead of Lonnie Johnson Jr.
No,
for you?
No, they're going to be in the nickel more often than not.
Jason. Got you. Let's go with that, Alan.
Don't underestimate Zane Anderson. That today, Jeff Hafley said, I trust him. I know him. He knows my scheme. And we talked to him. He's a lot bigger than I thought he was.
Yep.
He's got some size to him. Mm-hmm. Can he play? I have absolutely no idea. But right now, I would play Frogger with him. When you play Frogger, you jump ahead and you go, you know, you go.
Yeah. Okay. I was no idea how that relates to.
I'm trying not to get pow pow. Trying not to get a pow pow, Poupart.
No pow pow.
No pow pow. We don't like pow pows.
But what's your optimistic take on the secondary? Because you know you look at the edge, and man, that's a concern. But the secondary, am I wrong for feeling like I think we're gonna be fine?
If everybody can stay healthy, they got a chance. And everybody remains confident in themselves and their ability, they got a chance. There's no guarantee on that, because I could tell you Noah Igbinoghene had a hell of a training camp till he got to the regular season and got picked on by Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, or who was the quarterback?
Oh, Stephon Diggs is the one who liked.
Yeah, got picked on by Stephon Diggs and Russell Wilson. It was, and from that point, he was broken and never got fixed. So I can't promise you anything that Chris Johnson, what's the kid name that we cut last year? Cam Smith. Cam Smith had a fine training camp until the final exhibition game got beat by a double move against Jacksonville, ended up in Vic Fangio's doghouse, and we never saw him again, ever. So, and he never responded well to adversity. And he's in the UFL right now.
Dr. Z Award winner, Vic Fangio, for lifetime achievement for an offensive and not an assistant coach. Let's not forget that.
If he wasn't such a grumpy old man, he'd be head coach again. Just saying.
Miss you, Vic. Love you, buddy. Miss you, Vic.
He worked wonders.
If he wasn't a grumpy old man, he'd be head coach again. He would be.
And if he really wanted to be with the Dolphins, he'd still be with the Dolphins. He wanted to be in Philly all along. And
he didn't. He wanted no part of this country.
It was a bad match. Him and McDaniel and Miami was a bad match. To answer your question, TD, I think best case scenario, they're mid.
Best case scenario?
The secondary? Dude, what are you expecting? You ain't got
no hope in your
Poupard. That's not fair. Juju Brents can play. Can he stay healthy? No, but he can play.
Okay, but the thing is, to become more than mid, you're talking about, okay, Jason Marshall Jr., who, how many games did he start on the outside last year? Maybe
He wasn't good. Zero or one.
Okay, you're counting on him like taking a big step forward. Whoever winds up at safety next to Dante Trader Jr.
Big step forward.
It's a big step forward. And I'm sorry if I have traumatic issues, but the last player the Dolphins got who had been a special teams specialist, had played pretty well in spots on defense, got to the Dolphins and got a lot of playing time at safety, and it didn't work out well. That was just last year. That was Ashton Davis. And that's Zane Anderson's
career. He was okay. He wasn't bad.
That's not what you were saying all of last year. I'm sorry, Ashton Davis.
I called out a lot of players for being bad. Ashton Davis was not one of them. Ashton Davis was like, okay, he was mid.
He wasn't good. Sorry. And Zane Anderson's career resume, again, you want to take a leap of faith. If everything works out great, he turns from a special team specialist into a good starting safety in the NFL, if that's the role he winds up having.
It happens.
But the thing is, you're asking for a lot of projection, and Dante Trader Jr., for all of the smoke blowing that's being done by a lot of folks in the media, including this guy, is still an unproven commodity. He showed promise last year, but that's kind of it. So you're asking a whole lot.
Mid at best.
Yes, you're going to get on my ass for...
I would go average at best.
What do you think mid means?
Mediocre.
Mid means middle of the pack.
Mid is mediocre. I don't want to smoke mid. Like I just.
Omar, you're gonna side with him and say mediocre at best?
Average. It'll do. It'll do. If healthy.
See, I thought he was the grumpy one. Y'all, both of y'all just grumpy. It's in y'all's soul. Mid at best. Man, we got, man, these guys are getting coached properly. See, that's the element nobody talking about what coaching can do.
By who?
Jeff Hafley. Jeff Hafley himself. That's right. That's his unit. That's his
coach the rest of the team.
Boy, man, y'all go get a rude awakening when this season.
That's because, again, you're a fan. Omar and I are journalists who have seen this team.
Who are they playing right now? Who are they playing? Show me what they do. Show me what they do with Drake London. Like, show me what they do when Tua comes here and starts carving them up. God. Show me then.
You, that would make you happy, wouldn't it?
It would
make you happy. Wouldn't
it? No, it wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't even show up.
No, it wouldn't.
They'll have to go the entire game. That Falcons game, they'll be like, attention media, this is a working press box. No cheering in the press box, please.
he'd be on the field.
I'm not even out there. Tua, Tua's going to challenge cornerbacks. Tua is. Tua ain't checking down. Like, that's not his game. Sorry.
Then what are he doing? Because he ain't going deep no more.
TD, I'm trying to deal in reality here. Yes, it would be awesome if all those guys really pan out, blossom, and the Dolphins have a great secondary. I'm trying to be realistic here and to expect with the players they have, their unproven commodities, to expect them to be anything more than if they're middle of the pack. If you to ask me, they'll be middle of the pack right now, I'd say sign me up. I'll take that right now.
Jay Riviero 512 says, I'm so confused on how Malik's progress through camp has been. The beat guys say one thing and TD out here saying Jesus walking on water.
The guys were actually there.
Yeah. Malik, I mean, do I wish I've seen more from Malik? Yes. Is today a great start? Absolutely.
What more would you have liked to have seen?
I'm glad we're seeing less checkdowns. Somebody sent him the memo. Stop checking down. It's 7-on-7s, bro. So props to that. That's a step in the right direction. I want to see him start to connect on open receivers because they are open. Some of them are open. He's just not connecting on them. And now that they're incorporating the play action, and I never really thought about that, like, if his best plays are play action, that's not going to work in OTAs and 7-on-7 settings because me faking like I'm handing off the ball with them knowing I ain't handing off the ball, that ain't going to work. So now that they started running, even though they're not getting much out of it, the defense has to play it. So there's a half step of hesitation. So it leaves receivers with a little bit of an opening. And him being able to be on a move from the play action and then being able to turn around and extend the play by running a little bit to the right, it leads to more opportunities for these players. And I like what I've seen today. Now, with that said, I've liked what I've seen Quinn Ewers for three practices. Quinn is aggressive as hell throwing the ball. Quinn ain't looking to check down. Quinn's like, check down? That's for wussies. I'm throwing that thing. And he's throwing that thing.
And so Quinn is looking like Tua in the pocket, making plays.
With a better arm.
Who?
Quinn has a better arm than Tua, yes.
Okay.
Quinn is, you could tell, he's like, all right, y'all not giving me a chance. I'm coming out here slinging it. Y'all gonna deny me, but I'm going to put it out here. You could see... That's the way he's playing. He's like, all right, y'all not going to give me a chance. Well, my whole teammate, they're going to see me slinging his ball. He's not playing conservative. He's not playing safe. Like, Malik is playing it safe because, he checked down City? Not today. But we've gone from heavy checkdowns. Like, bro, don't throw no checkdown on 7-on-7s. It's 7-on-7s. Throw the damn ball. And even Jeff Hafley said that. So somebody sent the memo, stop checking down on 7-on-7s and throw the damn ball. Like, give these wide receivers and these cornerbacks work. Like, why are you throwing the ball to Jalen Wright? Where is that going? Like, what are we doing? Like, that ain't doing nothing for nobody. So you know, I'm glad Malik is getting there. And Halfley said that they're not installing new things. They're repeating things that they've installed. So there's a little bit more of a comfort level. And that's great. And maybe they have thrown sessions 3 times a week. They certainly need it 3 times a week in the 6 weeks that they're not around here. And maybe they develop some sort of comfort level in chemistry. But right now, the passing game looks like trash. I'm not even, and we don't know what the running game looks like, but your passing game certainly looks like trash. Is it not trash, Kupar?
No, that's too harsh.
Is it good?
Again, we're talking about a spring practice.
I know.
It doesn't look like it would scare anybody, but it's not like incompetent. So put that somewhere in between. Unless they're taking a stand.
Thank you, Alan.
It's definitely not scaring nobody. And it's not incompetent.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, you're right. I'm agreeing with you on your description. Okay. Maybe trash is a little bit too harsh, but I'm thinking you are going to play better defenses. This is probably a bottom 10 defense in the NFL. If we're going to be, and I'm being generous, like this is not going to be a good defense.
Wait. But I thought the secondary was going to be top 5, according to this guy over here in the middle.
Stop. You know he's waving his flag.
You don't know if they're going to be top 5 or bottom 5. So both there is just as equal. How about that?
No, there's a lot more
grumpy.
A better chance I'll be bottom 5 than they'll be top 5.
Grumpy. Sorry. You're grumpy. All right. Yeah, well, last comparison. I don't want to send Omar on a tangent on this one. Just last comparison. Compared to his OTAs, first OTAs ever to Malik's.
That was 6 years ago. Holy.
Yeah, my. Tua wasn't that good then either. But Tua was a rookie who probably shouldn't have even been practicing back then.
Why?
Like, because he was coming off a hip injury.
He was 100% healthy, cleared.
Okay. If you say so.
But the fact that one was a rookie and the other one's a fifth-year player, that's kind of apples and oranges.
Fifth year.
Yes.
Man, he ain't played a full season. Now, y'all love throwing that out the other way.
But he's got –
he is a fifth-year player. He's only started 6 NFL games, but he is a fifth-year player.
He's got 4 training camps.
Hey, Malik cooking, man. Y'all just need to be honest. Malik out there cooking.
He was cooking today. We'll get you that. Right. He was cooking
today. And that's all we wanted, wanted to know. Well, I got one more thing before we go to the last segment here. Jeff Halfley said something today, and I wonder if this is it makes me think about Kenneth Grant. Okay. I will not play guys based on where they were drafted. The lies. Best player will play.
Lies.
TD.
You don't TD, believe it?
It's the same thing as with Malik Willis. He's going to say what he needs to say. Malik Willis is the starting quarterback, even if Quinn Ewers continues to outperform him, even by a slight margin.
Those are all lies, TD.
So who are your starting defensive tackles?
You know who they are.
So with that being said, Grant and Sealer?
Yes. And then if they at other times, it's going to be Sealer and Jordan Phillips.
So is Jordan Phillips not impressing to a point to where he should be earning the right to start in this league now?
Yes.
Miami Dolphins.
But he's a position-specific guy. He's like a nose tackle.
I don't think he's
depending. Give me a break.
I don't.
Jordan Phillips is a run stopper.
I understand he is, and so is Kenneth Grant.
No, Kenneth Grant, ideally, is going to provide a lot more in the pass rush. If they're playing a team that's going to come out throwing the ball.
Pass rush? When did you see him rushing the passer?
Who?
Kenneth Grant. You said Kenneth Grant is
a lot more than Jordan Phillips.
Hell no. Kenneth Grant is not no pass rusher.
He's supposed to be, but
he is not. How many sacks did Kenneth Grant have in college? He ain't no pass rusher. Like
again, more than our friend. Who's our friend?
Well, I just feel like that's going to determine if Jeff Halfley means what he says.
They're players based on their depth chart, based on seniority and draft stock. and veteran free agents. That's the depth chart. So if Halfley was talking about, was doing what he was talking about, it wouldn't be that way. And like, I'm sorry, why is Jalen Wright ahead of Ali Gordon outside of seniority?
That may change.
It needs to change.
But that's always the way it is in the spring at the start of training camp. It's always going to be, with few exceptions, your guys who have been around.
And Jason Marshall Jr., what has he done more than Ethan Bonner ever? Not to say that one isn't more talented than the other, or not to say that one is more experienced than the other. I really don't care. But is it really a competition yet? Like, we keep talking about, like, okay, I'm going to play the best player. I ain't seen a competition yet. Where the competition at?
Dude, we haven't gotten the training camp yet.
I understand that.
And why would Ethan Bonner get first dibs over Jason Moore? I think they're looking at Jason Moore.
Why would they not do what Flores used to do, which is best guy practiced yesterday starts today?
Again, spring. Let's see in training camp.
Okay, we will. But I support the Brian Flores approach. That's how we discovered Nick Needham. Like, Nick Needham, one day, Nick Needham as a rookie just kept starting. And we're like, why the hell is he starting? And they'd be like, because he had practiced the best. And we were like, okay. Now, he didn't initially make the 53-man roster, but we saw what happened with Nick. He got elevated from the practice squad. Then he got playing opportunity against the Colts, led the game. Then he gave us our you know, y'all making him out to be a superstar comment from Brian Flores. Then he created World War III with the media and Flores. And, like, but my point is, reward the players who practice well. I don't necessarily see that happening yet, and it's early, but I would hate to see what we're looking at now carry over in training camp.
But if you're all, again, if they also have a pecking order in their mind.
They do.
Okay, well, correct. But to me, there's something to be said about not just overreacting to one practice and then you keep messing up your rotations and all that. Sorry.
Practice in 6 months, before, I mean, 6 weeks before the season starts. Reward the guy who had a good day. Reward the guy who is doing everything that you ask. Dangle a little carrot in front of his face.
Orange jersey, baby. Orange jersey.
I've never not supported the orange jersey. I have never, ever in my life not supported the orange jersey. I believe in it. Willie Gay still got robbed. Orange jersey. Willie Gay still got robbed. I will never forget that injustice.
I know.
Man. Oh, my gosh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I won't forget that the official sponsor of Dolphins Collective, again, is Prize Picks. Don't forget, play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups using code HMA. I told y'all earlier, NBA Finals is tonight, so get in on the action. Jalen Brunson over 25.5. Victor Wimby over 27.5. Take advantage of it with Prize Picks, all right? They have some cool stuff that they're launching right now for the NBA Finals. So make sure you go on and take advantage of it. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. We don't have that much.
Spurs to win the championship.
I agree with that.
Spurs win the championship in six. Also, I want to say something. We have 838 people watching live. There is no reason that we do not have at least 500 likes on this post. It does matter when you get on this channel, like the post, because it helps us in our algorithm. If we get this to 500 likes, I'm going to stay on here and I'm going to answer 10 extra questions and you're going to get nothing filtered. You can ask whatever you want. Let's get that. Let's make that happen. And I'm going to make Poupard stay too.
I don't know. Alan might regret that. Omar might regret it. But all right, real quick. Last thing.
You okay? Ask which media member Alan hates, and I will make him answer that.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we got some super chats. We're going to get into those in just a moment. I just had one more question for you guys before we open it up for the Q&A with Omar, because I know y'all going to get over 500 likes in the next minute or two. But real quick, and both of you, I want to get your take on this. Just a brief thought. Okay. There's still so much to be seen. It's still early, but is there anything that you can say about the culture right now in the building?
Yeah, you can. They're stretching a lot more. And they're doing a lot longer special teams work. Without a doubt. This is going to be the most limber Dolphins team I've ever seen in 20 years. Because they be stretching. They be stretching. Special teams and have said it today. I put a lot of stock and a lot of attention into special teams, and their practices indicate that. There have been times during the Mike McDaniel era where I felt like Mike didn't put enough effort, attention, time into special teams, and it showed.
Man,
why do we not have Poupart sound?
Because I muted myself to take a sip while TD was doing the price picks.
So we don't get a shirt made without them to put grumpy.
If you guys remember to know that Dolphins made a change in their player performance department, strength and conditioning. So they have the former Green Bay Packers conditioning guy, was Todd Hunt, who's now in charge of strength and conditioning. They promoted Kyle Johnson from head athletic trainer, gave him now a title of VP of player performance. Dave Poloco had been there since 2008, now with the Tennessee Titans. You did not know that?
No,
I did not. Going to imagine that that's a philosophy they brought from Green Bay, perhaps that the longer stretching maybe will help. Dolphins have had issues with injuries in years past. Is that going to make a difference, stretching a lot longer? Who knows? But can't help to try something different. But as far as culture is like come back to me when they get hit some adversity, either in training camp or in games, where we'll know a lot more. But they are doing things a little bit differently. The music during practice is at a lot lower level than it used to be, where it almost used to be like a party. And, oh, by the way, we're going to do some football work while we're here. Am I wrong?
No, you're coming off quite grumpy and old, but yes. Your type of music, you wasn't complaining.
It's got nothing to do with the fact that the music completely sucks. For me, I know Omar thinks it's the greatest thing ever, but for me, yes. But outside of that, and again, other than the changes that Omar mentioned, let's worry about culture again when we get into game settings and situations where it calls for answering adversity. And let's see if there's really next man up. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't. Don't talk about the culture being, I don't care where you were drafted. I don't care what you were signed for. I don't care about your contract. We're going to play the best guy. Don't talk about it if you ain't going to be about it.
But Omar, here's the thing. How many teams in the NFL use that language?
All of them.
Thank you. And how many?
Some of them actually mean it.
How many?
Baltimore Ravens. Pittsburgh.
You love your Ravens.
Well, happily might mean it. It's just too early to make the change.
Fine.
Let's wait to see training camp and going into the regular season, what the official depth chart says.
You have a strong day of practice. You should get called up. I that's the one thing I'll take from the Brian Flores era that I always respected.
TNT is what I always respect.
Take no talent wall.
No talent.
Perfect.
See, what I don't respect about that is that it only lasted for one season. Like, if you fully believed in that, make it last. For those who don't understand, there used to be a wall in Davie that was a TNT wall. Mm-hmm. It takes no talent. If you made a mistake, you committed a penalty, you committed a false start, you did something stupid that could have cost the team, you had to leave what you were doing, go run all the way across the field, touch the take no talent wall, and then come back.
That was for his first year, right?
Yes. And it went away after the first year. The wall was still there, but you didn't have to do all that.
I think he got too many veterans. After the first year, if you remember that off season of 2020,
so did it take no talent? So obviously it took talent then.
He realized after
it was a contradiction.
Well, it was a contradiction because once he saw the quarterback they drafted, he was like, "Dang, it do take talent." That was a revelation for Flores. That. All right, y'all, let's get into these. Let's get into these super chats. God's Child said, it's my birthday and all I want is Dolphins Collective. All shout out to Omar for always making coaches laugh. Seems like he likes y'all. Yeah, Omar, you pretty funny, man. I've been hearing Allen lowly calling you out, too.
What Allen called me out?
Was that Allen today when you was like, can I ask a question? And he was like,
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, it was everybody. It was a dumb meeting. Sorry, my bad.
He was like, oh, well, do I have a choice? After he said, do I have a choice? Oh, man. All right, you were still starting on 12th of never.
Yes.
No, I think yours will be starting games this year.
Not he going to get hurt or something?
Absolutely.
Why do you think all mobile quarterbacks get hurt?
Because they do.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen
is a tank. That
and it took Patrick Mahomes 500 years to get hurt.
They do.
He always got hurt, and he always miraculously stayed in the game, though.
Yeah.
With Mahomes.
They do. But go ahead.
Well, Malik could be the next Josh Allen. Well, anyway. Hearing Halfley call out Chop saying he needs to be better is a breath of fresh air compared to the last staff who would only say positive things.
I know, I loved it too. And he wasn't like he did it. He wasn't dressing down Chop, but it was like clear challenge has been issued. Message has been sent. You need to up your game, but it wasn't done like in a negative or bad way. I personally absolutely loved it.
Me too. Mike wanted to give the keys to Ewers in 2026.
He did.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Darren Waller was on a podcast, and he said in his exit meeting before Stephen Ross interrupted, Waller said that McDaniel told him, I'm giving the offense turning the keys over to yours, going to bring in somebody to compete with him. We want you back. And then Stephen Ross walks in. They shoot the breeze for a little bit, and then Stephen Ross looks at Darren Waller with a look like, you need to leave us alone. Then leave them alone and then proceeds to basically
in breaking news.
Yeah.
TD looking like a kid in a dolphin candy store listening to some of these positive camp observations. I'm about to have cavities, baby. This season gonna give me cavities. Cause I mean, listen, we're gonna ball out this year. Y'all trust me, okay? Y'all gonna see. All right. All right, Malik.
TD, you notice that Omar is like calling me out for making sure I stay here to past our time to answer the
he walks off.
And he walks away. Nice, Omar. Nice.
Malik scramble ball is nice till teams force him to play in the pocket. Is he processing slow within the pocket or just inaccurate? I think that happened. Say it again. Go ahead.
That's not a concern here right now. First of all, guys have to be open. And is he just inaccurate? No, he's not the most accurate quarterback I've ever seen, but I certainly would not call him inaccurate, and it's way, way too early to even worry about either.
I would say his decision-making and ability to pull the trigger needs to improve a tick. Like, he needs to get half a second faster, if not a second faster. Mm. You see it, you pull the trigger, but that's the thing.
You're not only a second faster.
Yes, you see it, you pull the trigger.
No,
yes.
I said solely a second faster because you said half a second faster.
Sorry. Yes, that's fully a second faster, yes.
Sorry. Solely, not fully. Solely, half and solely. Never mind.
Oh, way over my head, sorry. Yeah, not getting it. Go ahead.
DF Forever said, just sharing some respect. Keep it real, TD, with love. LOL. I am, man. Y'all just don't see what I see.
Y'all like your whole pedalus.
You know what? I saw you, that's funny. You better be careful what you're about to say, Omar. Because I'm going to call you out on it. Because I saw you on X talk about, I'm not a hopium dealer.
I'm not.
You spent 6 years selling hope for a guy. You should have a RICO charge on you for the amount of hope you were selling. I told you, be careful what you say.
Listen. I can't defend that.
You were single-handedly responsible for giving so many hopium overdoses in the last 6 years. You got to atone for that, Omar. You have to atone for that, brother.
He lost his arm. What do you want me to do?
There you go. The arm fell off.
It did. Did it or did it not?
No.
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't just the arm, though. It was just, it was him.
He wasn't going to win. He didn't win big games, but his teammates didn't step up in big games either.
And he couldn't run a 2-minute drill, Omar.
He could. Just not.
Why are we still talking about him already?
I mean, because we.
Hope you. Really... It was about hope.
Oh, okay.
Raiders fan, go get Jared Verse when he's available.
Why? What?
He's a stud, but why would
he's a stud? I remember the Rams game. Teron Armstead could not sing enough praises for how good he was and how well he played and how dangerous he's going to be. They gave up. Like, that was, I mean, that's the equivalent of that kid is going to be a good player.
Yeah. That was a good trade for both teams.
Huh?
I mean, it was a good trade for both teams.
I don't agree with that. You can't give up the best defensive player in the NFL and think it was a good trade.
Yeah, but he like you said, you know, he was forcing his way out of there.
He wanted out. I mean, every
and it was.
I thought his press conference was so disingenuous because he was like, "Oh, I was surprised about this came out of nowhere for me." Like, please, come on, bro. You've been trying to get out of there from last year. Yeah.
But it was three firsts. That was the equivalent. A three first verse, another first, and a second and a third. The second and a third is
but you can't a first in 2028 is basically a third right now. Like, I mean, maybe the Rams aren't good in 2028, but they certainly got a 2-year window to go win the championship.
That's true. We're gonna be some late first.
Exactly. And let Aaron Donald come out of retirement, which he's considering. Woo-hoo-hoo! That's going to be like it looked like the Rams was just trying to motivate Aaron Donald to come out of retirement.
And then watch Stafford blow out a knee, Ty Simpson sucks, and then the Rams don't go anywhere.
See? Grumpy. Why you had to say Ty Simpson?
I'm just telling you. Here's the thing.
Pessimism.
Here's the thing. Hold on. No, but here's in the realm of anything can happen. The Rams last year went to the NFC Championship game with the team they had, and yet they felt the need to like give up draft picks, give up a really really good young player to get that extra step. We all think it's automatic that boom, since they got Myles Garrett after what they did last year, now they're winning the Super Bowl. Okay.
They also passed up Reuben Bain to go get Ty Simpson. And which could have helped them as well.
They didn't have a need a pass rusher, and they probably knew they were going to get Myles Gaskin. I mean, Myles Garrett.
Well, that's a blast from
the past. No blast from pass. Leading rusher for the Dolphins in a year they couldn't run the ball.
2 years in a row.
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick led them 1 year.
Correct, in 2019, and in 2020 and 2021, it was Myles Gaskin.
God damn, that was so bad.
Mm-hmm. Is that real or just rumors about
he put something
coming out of retirement.
Who?
About Aaron Donald. He put some very cryptic stuff on Instagram. Like
somebody in the media called him and he basically said, I'm considering it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
He worked out like a warrior. Yeah, 2 years of your body resting, healing. He's still young. He was still young when he retired.
You can come get this Miami retirement plan.
No.
So wait, are you saying Tua gonna pull a Geno Smith and come back to Miami? Let this happen, please.
No.
He was talking about coming back to Miami for the preseason game with the Falcons against the Dolphins.
Yeah,
that's what Omar was saying.
TD acting like he's investigating a double homicide today. Y'all better lawyer up.
That's funny.
Hey, listen. Listen, they got alibis and all over here, all right? In my opinion, the Foo family, by the way, y'all go check them out on TikTok and everywhere, all on socials, amazing content. In my opinion,
have 500 likes. How?
We still don't?
No. Nope.
We 33 away. In my opinion, if we won the Super Bowl this year, that would be a greater accomplishment than the 72 perfect season, given our cap situation and young roster.
That would be the greatest accomplishment in sports history.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Greatest accomplishment in sports history.
And that's true. You know what makes sports beautiful? Every so often, a greatest accomplishment happens.
Absolutely.
All right.
Y'all you buckle living up. In the Lululand, big dog.
Y'all buckle up.
Somebody on this team would have to become an MVP candidate for that to even be possible.
Malik Willis. There you go. Duh.
With no weapons. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Drake May can do it. There's hope.
You got a point. You got a point. You do have a point.
Would like to see a Proctor behind center Finn push.
Like the same thing as a two. Here's the difference, though. Does Malik Willis squat, 650 pounds like Jalen Hurts does? That kind of plays a role in it, too.
No, I think he's talking about Proctor
carrying the ball.
Yeah, because they used him like that in college where he made some offensive actual plays.
I thought that was stupid, but
hey. Yeah, well, they converted.
Okay, cool.
Every time they give him the football.
How about now?
Yeah, that's too risky in the NFL with the money being invested in a player. Omar, say A-Chain is elite.
A-Chain is elite.
I agree. I don't think that's the question. I actually think you're top three back in the NFL.
That's because he was fighting it last time we were on here.
Who? I was fighting?
Yes, you didn't want to call him elite.
Okay. A-Chain's elite. Sure. Okay.
Rico Charles Omar had me dying. Hey man, listen, man. Omar getting us mixed up with the feds out here with all that hopium he was selling, but it is what it is. But Omar, we done hit 500 likes, man.
Okay. Y'all ask me what y'all want. Come on, let's go.
Alan, you gotta go or you sticking around.
Sure, we'll stick around for a little bit.
All right. So if you have any questions for Alan and Omar in the chat, make sure you put them in. We're going to be looking at the chat and we're going to answer some of your questions. Make sure it has a question mark on it. So
yeah,
I can
let's do that.
See
let's do
that. That it's an actual question.
Gavin Young asks, how are Trey Moore and Michael Taft doing? Trey Moore, the safety, they're blending in.
Trey Moore is the linebacker.
Lewis, he's the linebacker. Oh, yes. What's the safety's name? Lewis Moore. Sorry, my bad. Trey Moore is higher on the depth chart than I would have expected. I'll just say that.
I've yet to see anything that has me jacked up about either one of them, to be honest.
Yeah, Michael Taft, I don't even know if he's going to make a 53. Sorry. No offense.
Wow.
Man. And rookies, some guys, they turn up when the pass go on. Some guys, they turn up in game situations. Some guys turn up after they play their first exhibition game, and they're like, oh, this is the football I know and love, and then they always start to play. Right now, just nothing there. Nothing, you're not seeing anything. Chris Johnson is starting to play better. That's pretty much all I got for you on the rookies. Let's see. Dorian Sims, did Brian Flores cuss you out? And if so, what did he tell you? Absolutely, Brian Flores cussed me out, and nobody will ever talk to me like that ever again in my life. And it was over some bull crap that he had no business. We had no business arguing, and he also suspended me. So
you got to pop out.
And sorry. And that's the genesis of our beef. And we have not hashed it out, but what did I used to work for?
It was a podcast or something.
Yeah. I did the one sit down with I Am Athlete, and I told him I didn't want to do it. And he, Flores and his camp insisted that I do it because they know that I don't like him. I asked a lot of hard-hitting questions. Now, unfortunately, in that situation, Florida and his camp had Final Cut edits, and so they purified and cleaned up a lot of that interview. And the fact that we were one of two people that got an interview one-on-one with Flores, you know, we take what we can. And, you know, I'm proud of the work that we did in that interview, but, you know, it is what it is.
Man, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I support him in his lawsuit. I'm not a Flores fan. I'll never be a Flores fan. He can't talk to people properly. And hopefully he's learned how to talk to people properly. And
great X's and O's guy, though. That man can draw up a defense.
Ooh, mediocre people person.
Oh, that's not what I said. I said X's and O's.
Yeah, but I'm just saying you can't be a good head coach. I do support him in his lawsuit, and I know he ain't going to settle. So the NFL could offer him whatever number they want. He's not going to settle. They've come too far in this lawsuit, and the government is actually taking this to trial, which means there's going to be discovery. The NFL will pay you whatever to avoid discovery, and Flores is not taking whatever. He is opening up this can of worms, and it's going to be ugly.
Question number three, Omar and Allen, is Caleb Douglas slipping down the depth chart, and how's Jalen Tober look?
There is no depth chart.
Jalen Tober looks like a number four receiver in the NFL, and Caleb Douglas looks like he's a rookie.
A rookie finding his footing.
Yes. Omar standing on business. What does that mean? I don't know.
I mean, you're standing on business.
Omar, why do you love Tua so much, and why for 6 years? I love Tua because that's a good question, the next one. I love Tua because he is a very efficient quarterback who lives off accuracy. I love accurate quarterbacks. I love quarterbacks that can convert on third downs. It's what I believe in. Do I wish he had a better arm? Yes. Do I wish he was more durable? Yes. Do I wish he could have won big games? Yes. But he is not the only reason they didn't win big games. He is a factor in why they didn't win. Tyreek never stepped up in big games. Never. With the Dolphins.
They asked about Tua.
They didn't have a quarterback to get on the ball in big games.
Yeah. And that's why you love Tua.
And there was silence in the room.
I'm not going there.
Oh my gosh. Is Malik Washington the clear cut wide receiver one? Question number five.
No, but I think him and Tolbert are battling for top targets right now.
Allen, will our run game open up the pass game? Question number six.
You better hope.
To a certain degree, because that's inevitable, but I don't know that the Dolphins right now have the personnel to have a dynamic passing game. I really don't. They're going to live off the running game. They're going to live off Malik making plays off schedule.
If your run game is so great, doesn't that a lot of times force teams to go in the zone?
Mm-mm. No.
Was Tennessee's passing game really that great when they went to the AFC Championship game in 2019 with Tannehill at quarterback, or was it just – No, was it just efficient enough to produce when opponents were like so focused on stopping Derrick Henry? It still
Allie, it was great.
A great passing game.
It was a great passing game. That was Tannehill Hill's best season as an NFL pro.
Great passing game.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring up Ryan Tannehill's stats, what that run game did for his life over there in Tennessee.
Oh, the passer rating was outstanding, but as we saw the past 6 years, passer rating sometimes can be very deceiving. That's for you, Omar. and in the playoffs, it went because that's what he did. No, yeah, good.
Yeah, in 10 games, he had 2,742 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. The next year with that run game, 3,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Yep. You get that from Malik this year, with a good run game, we
sure. It's a different kind of run game, though. I don't, who was with receivers? What? Why are you giving me the side eye?
You got to find a question from Jack Rodriguez 11 because I do want to address this. I definitely do want to address this.
11.
Jack Rodriguez. Yeah, Jack Rodriguez 11. He's on the live. It's not the paid cop question.
How long ago was it?
I don't know. Long time ago. He asked about, I'll address it now. Why is Jonathan Martin stalking Omar Kelly?
Oh, is that the one? Okay.
Ooh, thoughts on what Nolan Carroll said about Jonathan Martin. It's accurate. Everything that Nolan said about Jonathan Martin was accurate, or at least how I have am to understand it. I've never had a conversation. Well, I've had a conversation with Jonathan Martin. I've never had a conversation with Jonathan Martin about things from his perspective, but I did read a ridiculously 400-page Ted Wells report. I did read the ESPN article. I did hear from players. And yes, Jonathan Martin, and for those who don't know, I do believe the person who's tweeting me is really Jonathan Martin, because he knows too much intimate information to not be Jonathan Martin. And young man needs help. And
he's tweeting you?
Oh yeah. And tweeting, stalking, threatening, bullying. And I do believe that he needs help. And I hope somebody in his inner circle does help him.
Recent? Or back in the day, you talking about?
Recent.
This is happening?
Yeah. This is live, like every week happening. Oh. And like he truly needs some help. It's to the point where Richie Incognito has a restraining order on him. So
all right. Well, hey, let's move forward then. Well, thanks for addressing it. Wait, you can risk a QB doing a tush push. Bring the fridge back. Kane Proctor ain't doing no tush pushes. Chaz Brown said, aren't there any staff members that you guys think can be a potential head coach prospect?
Austin Clark.
Definitely Austin Clark. I like the defensive line, I like the linebacker coach.
Joe Barry?
Yeah, I like Joe Barry. I think Joe Barry could become a head coach.
He's been an interim head coach, has he not?
I don't know, but I think he's got that persona.
I like him too. He's another one of those grumpy old men straight shooters. I like him.
Yes. We know you love grumpy old men.
I love grumpy old men.
I love grumpy old men. I really don't know why. I don't know many of the other coaches, to be honest with you. I'm just getting to learn a lot.
Yeah, they're a bunch of newbies.
But Austin Clark is impeccable as a coach, in my opinion. Mm. And he personifies everything I would want a coach to be.
And keep in mind his responsibilities have increased, and this is a guy who survived two coaching changes from Flores, McDaniel to Halfley.
That means you got to be pretty good at your job.
Correct.
Yeah. And likable and work well with others. The Expedition Life said, Omar, tell us more about Taylor wanting to fight BM. I don't know who Taylor it refers to.
Taylor? Fred Taylor? Wanted to fight Brandon Marshall?
Yeah.
Oh, that's longstanding. A lot of people want to fight Brandon Marshall. Fred basically got robbed by Brandon because they all started I Am Athlete together. They never signed any paperwork, but there was all 33% stake in it. Brandon was the one that was putting the money in the product. And so he had an argument that you're not a equal rights owner because you're not putting in the equity. However, that wasn't the initial verbal agreement, which was supposed to have paperwork done to it. And so Fred eventually got fed up, and Brandon is a narcissist and along with other things. So they left because Brandon did bad business I took over I'm Athlete because Brandon did bad business and to clean up the business end of it. And while I was there, Brandon would consistently start fires doing bad business and leave me to clean it. He'd start a fire every day and I'd have to put it out. And I could say this now because he's legally, he owes me about $200,000. So, but I'll never see that money.
Yeah, let's go get our money, Omar. Hit me up later.
He filed bankruptcy. He's done. Like it's playing a shell game. So it is what it is.
Wow. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 10 rapid fire questions been answered. And shout out to Calvin Vaughn 9336 showing love to the channel. Quick before we get out of here, everybody who donates to the channel, thank you for helping us continue to grow this bigger and better as we proceed into what we hope to be a shocking, massive season, but time will tell. Shout out to all the members. Shout out to the mod squad. And guess what? Everybody isn't going to become a member. Everybody isn't going to donate. But one way you can contribute to the collective by being a member of the collective is just by hitting the like button and letting others know that we even exist. We appreciate everybody watching. We love y'all. Make sure you check out Alan Poupar on SI and make sure you check out Omar Kelly, on the Herald, ladies and gentlemen. We love y'all. Check out Doug. He'll be with us on Friday. Y'all make sure you go follow his channel. He consistently dropping amazing content. And you can find me at TD Fans Talk, talking about how elite Malik Willis is and everybody else don't realize it yet. Okay, I'm just saying, you know. But anyway, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Another Dolphins Collective in the books. We'll see you soon. Peace. We are out.